I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the very first Pro Wrestling Index podcast of 2017, so happy new year from us. It's Andy Wills here with you, joined as ever by my audio tag team partner, Mo Chatra. Mo, good evening and happy new year.
Happy new year to you as well, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm not so bad. I will be honest and say I am quite looking forward to the Rumble, though perhaps not quite as much as I should be. I don't know. Maybe my excitement will start to reach fever pitch next week, but more of that later, I suppose. One thing I would like to start with, though, is, you know, the last time we spoke on here, we were talking not only about our best and worst of 2016, but we also talked about briefly about World of Sport Wrestling returning to ITV television. You know, terrestrial TV, wrestling on terrestrial television in the UK. And I know you were quite looking forward to it, weren't you? How did you find that show?
I thought it was, on the whole, very entertaining couple of hours. You know, obviously very different to the kind of presentation of World of Sport Wrestling from the 80s, and that's a good thing, I thought. You know, if they produced a show that was taped out of kind of a sports center or one of these old style kind of halls, you know, a town hall or something, and had a bunch of guys looking much like the old guys from the 70s and 80s, people have just laughed at it. But it felt a bit more contemporary, a bit more modern in terms of storylines, presentation, camera work, entrances, characters as well. And I thought on the whole it was a well put together 2-hour show. Good to see Jim Ross back. I thought he did a very good job on commentary. He was accompanied by Alex Shane, longtime British wrestler, now a commentator, and I thought the two worked well together. And we got to see some of the top stars from around the UK as well, including most notably Grado, who's become actually almost famous and transcended wrestling outside of Scotland, within Scotland. And he was the star of that show, lost the first match to become the inaugural World of Sport champion in a contest against Big Dave Mastiff from the Black Country. But then by the end of the night, won a number one contenders battle royal, and then took on Dave Mastiff in a rematch and won the title. So in the space of those 2 hours, we saw a two title changes for the World of Sports Championship. But no, I thought overall it was a well-presented show. You know, some good action on the card itself. Got to see good variety as well. Everyone wasn't exactly the same as each other. And it had a decent rating as well, 1.25 million viewers tuned in, which isn't a fantastic rating, but it's not a disaster of a rating either. So because of that, there is talk that ITV are looking to commission a series, might be 10 or 13 shows initially. And, you know, if that, you know, hits it off with the audiences, then, you know, it could lead to, you know, perhaps even becoming a weekly show again. But certainly very good to see British wrestling back on national television. And, you know, most of the feedback was good. And certainly on Twitter, if it's any indication, World of Sport Wrestling was trending well into the next day. So positive signs and, you know, well deserved for the British scene, because it was really, really in the doldrums about 20 years ago. And you know, there's a lot of people around the UK that work very, very hard to help, you know, rejuvenate the wrestling scene in this country. And you know, it was good to see that their efforts were rewarded in a way with exposure on ITV.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting to see David Hart Smith make an appearance as well. Kind of a nice one there. And yeah, it is, like you say, you know, it's good to see British wrestling being showcased on British television like this. You know, it is in a very healthy state in recent years. Just look at the number of British talents that have gone across the water. They're making the names in WWE and TNA, you know, and become mainstream stars over in the States. So, yeah, wrestling in Britain is healthy, you know, in the independent shows as well. You'll know this better than me, you know, that the independent scene in the UK has been growing over the past decade, hasn't it?
Oh, it has, absolutely. You know, to the extent that a lot of former WWE talents regularly tour around the UK. And, you know, the reason why they come over here is because they get a lot of work. They get a lot of well-paid work. And a lot of these independent shows around the UK are drawing very healthy crowds. And, you know, that's because there's a lot of interest in domestic wrestling. So whilst it generally isn't available on television, through the wonders of social media and the internet, people can still follow these various promotions that are dotted up and down the UK. And you know, increasing number of them are, you know, very, very good promotions in their own right and offer a very compelling alternative to the WWE. Likes of Progress Wrestling offer a product that's very different to the WWE, but has created a very big cult following. And, you know, they ran the Brixton Academy last year and drew a crowd of about 2,500. And that was, you know, a very big show for them. We had Insane Championship Wrestling in Scotland that drew, I think it was about 6,000 fans to the SSE Hydro in Glasgow, which for a promotion that's got no TV, to draw a massive crowd like that is just amazing. But it just shows the level of interest in alternatives to the WWE. So, I mean, if WWE, you know, doesn't quite rock your boat these days, you know, be adventurous and look out for the various alternatives that exist out there. And, you know, if you give some of these alternatives a chance, you might find yourself much falling in love with something that's not the WWE. So you know, there's a whole voyage of discovery to be had for anyone who wants to go out and discover all the many promotions that are out there offering some very, very good wrestling.
Yeah, and the thing with the smaller promotions and the smaller shows, they are a lot more intimate, so you can get a lot closer to the action. Chances are he might even get to speak to a few of the guys involved. So it's quite an experience. I've been to a couple of shows over the years, not for a while, and yeah, it's a very different experience, and it's good to take in. I really do believe that. I mean, mentioning the, you know, we're talking here about the UK and how healthy the scene is here, and you know, mentioning about things, this all being an alternative for WWE, but WWE, obviously to their credit, recognised just how healthy the scene is here. I mean, obviously there are a lot of British people involved within WWE, not just in the ring, but obviously outside of it. Likes of Robbie Brookside training people over for NXT, and William Regal there at NXT, and as a major scout for a WWE. Obviously he's got one foot over here still. You know, he's got his eye on what's happening. So with that in mind, WWE very mindful of the UK scene. And on the back of that, we've got this tournament coming up in the UK. Moen, do you want to give the listeners a bit of a preview on what they can look forward to?
Absolutely. I mean, the first thing to say is the ultimate sign of how important the UK scene now is, that the WWE is staging a tournament specifically for the UK to help crown the inaugural WWE United Kingdom champion. And the reason they're doing that is because that company feels, as the biggest wrestling promotion in the world, that the UK is a hotbed for wrestling. I mean, they're not doing that. They're not creating a title for Japan or Mexico or Germany or Australia or various other countries that have got a lot of independent wrestling. But they are for the UK because the UK is seen as a very, very important region for the WWE, not only because it's very popular in the UK, but also because of the extent of talent that's coming through. And increasingly, you know, they've taken on a number of talents into their developmental system in NXT, who are from the UK in recent times. And you know, if anything, that trend will only increase with more talent moving into the WWE. I mean, just last year, in the last few months, I think they've offered about four or five Brits developmental contracts. And so that's a sign of just how important they see the UK as being for the next generation of WWE superstars. So on to this tournament then. I mean, it's taking place out of the Empress Ballroom, a very, very famous, prestigious venue in Blackpool in the Northwest. And this will be a two-night live tournament on the WWE Network. It's a 16-man tournament, and you know, it's got some very, very talented wrestlers. I'm not going to go through necessarily all of them, but certainly some of the talents to look out for are Tyler Bate, who's only 19 years of age, but a short 5'4" or so, stocky little powerhouse, a bit Cesaro-like in a way, in that he likes to pull off feats of strength in the ring to show just how strong he is. And you know, he's got a great entrance as well, which you probably can't do on the WWE show this weekend, where he comes out to that classic song Sledgehammer, and the crowd sing along to it, and it's great. He's 19 years of age, extremely talented. You've got Trent Seven, who runs the Fight Club Pro promotion in Wolverhampton, which is Gag's hometown. And in fact, I went to Fight Club Pro's initial show of 2017 this past weekend in Wolverhampton, and Trent Seven was wrestling in the main event, and was superb. And you know, he's a very talented guy, not sporting the greatest of physiques, and I'm sure he'd admit that himself, but don't let that deceive you. He's a very talented wrestler, and I think he'll go far in this tournament. There's also Joseph Connors, who wrestles for Southside Extreme Wrestling, and that's based out of Nottingham predominantly, and that's a very good promotion. And you know, Joseph Connors is a good strong heel in that company. And you've got Roy Johnson, who likes to dab, so a bit Paul Bogba like in terms of his influences. He wrestles for Progress Wrestling. Pete Dunne is the one who I tip as the favourite for this tournament. You know, he's somebody who's the Progress Wrestling champion. He's also the champion of Fight Club Pro and several other promotions. He's only, I think, 23 years of age, been wrestling several years, though. Very, very talented, very, very versatile worker. Likes to specialise in what he calls British strong style. So quite Japanese influenced in the kind of way he likes to wrestle. But he's my favourite for the tournament. I think he can go very far. If you've seen the promotional pics of the press conference, he's to the left of Triple H, got slick back hair, clean shaven. And I think, in fact, there's a preview for the championship tournaments on the WWE Network at the moment. So if you've got a chance to check that out, that's well worth watching. And that's got a little feature on Pete Dunne. But no, he's a Brummy. He's very young, 23, 24. But he's an exceptional talent. And he's the one to watch this weekend. You know, his first round match is against Roy Johnson. And, you know, he's the person I'm tipping to go all the way. And I think it'll be a very good tournament. I mean, they haven't got, the absolute cream of the British scene's talent. I mean, they've got 16 wrestlers, but you know, of the 16, I'd say that four or five of them are people that I would class as amongst the best of the UK scene. But you know, they've got some good talent. You know, to show on the tournament this weekend. So I strongly urge all listeners to try and check out at least the final night of the tournament, if not the opening night, because it's going to be a lot of good wrestling, and you're going to be exposed to some very unique and special talents who are coming through in the UK. So, you know, once again, kudos to the WWE for putting on this tournament, and there's plenty to look forward to this weekend. So do certainly check it out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see just how they present it, you know, how it's packaged, how it comes across. Because certainly when watching the CWC, you know, if they approach it in that, you know, similar kind of format, I think it does have the potential to be a hit, not just here in the UK, because obviously we have that kind of emotional investment to it. You know, we're kind of tied to it. But perhaps around the world, you know, a chance to really showcase to the rest of the world, you know, some of the up-and-coming talents here in the UK, do you think?
Well, that's right. You know, in terms of the presentation of it, I mean, they'll have Michael Cole and Nigel McGuinness on commentary. Many of you might not have heard of Nigel McGuinness, but he was an exceptional wrestler who is a former ROH Ring of Honor world champion. He did briefly end up in the WWE but for a very short period of time, and also competed in TNA as well about 5 or 6 years ago, but then had to retire, I think because of hepatitis or something like that. So it was a shame that he had to retire, because he was an exceptional wrestler. I mean, if you ask Daniel Bryan, he will tell you that some of the best matches of his entire career were with Nigel McGuinness in Ring of Honor. So he'll be on commentary, and certainly will add some good credibility to the commentary alongside Michael Cole. So in that respect, I do suspect that the presentation will be fairly similar to the CWC. So that'll be something that will be positive for the shows this weekend. And then in terms of the talent themselves, you know, they're all working hard this week to turn up in the best appearance possible. And as I say, I saw several of the guys from the tournament, Pete Dunne, Dan Maloney, Mark Andrews, Trent Seven, all Tyler Bate wrestling on the Fight Club Pro show in Wolverhampton this past weekend. And you know, they all look great. And clearly they're really excited about working the tournament this weekend. And you know, I'm sure they'll want to go out there and make the best impression they can in the hopes of securing a contract of some description with the WWE. So they're all going to go out there and give it their best. And I think what we'll end up with is a very exciting tournament over the two nights. So plenty to look forward to. And once again, another good sign about just how far the UK scene has come.
Yeah, just on Michael Cole there, I mean, we're talking about this being an opportunity for the British wrestlers and perhaps even Nigel McGuinness, but I wonder if this is even, you know, possibly as bizarre as this may sound to a guy who's been in the company for, you know, for 20 years. For Michael Cole, this might just be an opportunity to showcase that he can actually do play-by-play, because this is going to be a different environment. It's going to be a different setting. He's not going to have someone screaming in his ear and having to promote the latest trend and this and advertise that and talk about this celebrity might be showing up next week and all the rest of it. Is just actually focusing what's going on in the ring. You know, bizarrely, this might be an opportunity for Michael Cole to perhaps get recognized by fans that he can do play-by-play.
Well, that's a great point. Absolutely. Since Mauro Ranallo joined the WWE last year, there's been a lot of positive talk about him. And Michael Cole is somebody who really gets recognition. And I think what didn't help is that kind of heel run where he was playing that kind of heel play-by-play announcer, which in many respect was a complete failure in the flop, and it was a bad idea. But this is, as you say, a great chance for him to show that when it comes to calling wrestling matches and not being distracted by other things that you know, he can, you know, deliver with the best of them. And you know, he's got a great partner in Nigel McGuinness. So, and on top of that, it will just be a two-man commentary team, which is a refreshing change, bit of a novel concept there. You know, it'll be Cole and McGuinness calling the action over both nights. And I think Michael Cole want to show that, you know, in a setting like this, you know, he can, you know, certainly do the matches justice and, you know, put them over in the way that they deserve. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs too.
Yeah, don't get me started on the commentary booths. I'm just waiting for Vince McMahon to announce that at the Royal Rumble, because it's a 30-man over-the-top battle royal, we're going to have a 30-man commentary booth, and they can all take turns to talk for 30 seconds or something like that.
Well, if not this year, maybe next. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. By the way, Vince, if you do that, that was my idea, and I will lay claim to it.
Yeah, you better pass
it. I must admit, that is... it's a detraction on SmackDown, and it's a real shame for me that, you know, Tom Phillips, who works really, he does really well on NXT, and he works brilliantly alongside Corey Graves on there. I know Corey Graves is fantastic, probably the best to call a commentator on TV right now. But, you know, Phillips is good, yet he's completely and utterly wasted on SmackDown because he's just not needed there. You know, four-man booth is just, I really don't get my head around that, because a three-man booth is too much. You know, what we get is basically you've got a play-by-play, you've got your color commentator, and then you've got a guy there that is trying to intercept at times to make himself relevant and remind us that he is actually there. It just seems to serve no function, and there doesn't seem to be an opportunity for any kind of chemistry there. And I don't know. For me, the commentary is a part of the product. It really is a whole part of the package for me to watch and enjoy. And yeah. And it's just one of those little things. I know it shouldn't detract you away from the action that's going on in the ring, but it just kind of, I don't know. I don't know about you, Mo, but it just kind of takes me away a little bit.
Well, that's right. Absolutely. I mean, commentary is there to sell the product and make it appear to be better than it really is. So, you know, a good, effective commentary team makes a decent match look good, makes a good match look great, makes a great match look like one for the ages, a classic. And you know, if you think back to your simple commentary team, two-man commentary teams of JR and Jerry Lawler, you know, Heenan and Monsoon, things like that. Monsoon and Ventura. One of the things that they were good at is, you know, adding their own different angle to the commentary. So they weren't there to say the same type of thing. And that's not what we get now. We're hearing from Tom Phillips and hearing from JBL and the likes of them. And, you know, they're all sometimes talking over each other in, there's no real purpose that they specifically have, especially given that lines are blurred around heel and face divide. So the whole role of a heel color commentator is certainly watered down from what it used to be when heels and faces were more clearly defined. So, you know, if nothing else, I mean, these commentary teams nowadays are arguably a distraction and you know, a drawback to the product, and not there to be an asset. And in a way, I blame BT Sport. They're the ones that came up with this four-person commentary team when they decided Michael Owen wasn't good enough and they wanted to add Glenn Hoddle next to him and then bring in a referee to sit alongside them, sit in a booth and commentate over any of the dodgy decisions. So it's all their fault.
If only Vince had been watching BT's part, I don't think so somehow. I mean, you mentioned there, look, you know, selling the product, and it seems to be the more about selling products and selling as social media, endlessly selling as social media, and that dreadful cliche. You know, I talked to him earlier today, and he told me, you know, it's just so unbelievable. People can't take it, and it's. It does lose something, that there's something a little bit gone. And right now, when you're watching Raw, you're watching SmackDown, but particularly watching Raw, is you need something to sell that product to make you a bit more interested, because what's going on in the ring, it really isn't all that interesting. And I must admit, I'm finding it more and more difficult to actually sit down and watch Raw in full. I really am. I don't know about yourself, Mo.
It's a chore getting through 3 hours, isn't it? No, we should be sitting down to watch these TV shows to be entertained and, you know, have a bit of escapism for those 3 hours or 2 hours if you remove the adverts. But increasingly what I find is making more frequent use of the fast forward button, being more selective about what I watch and what I choose to skip through. And, you know, that's not how it should be. I mean, you should be able to sit in front of these shows and not feel the need to do that. But there's just so much filler, especially with Raw, because, you know, to go back down to 2 hours would cost them tens of millions of dollars, which they're not prepared to do. But that's clearly at the detriment of the product, because, and that's something we've talked about on a number of occasions, that whilst the show's 3 hours, you know, they're trying to pad these shows out, and matches that should perhaps be 10 minutes stretched out to 15 minutes when they shouldn't be, and interview segments go on a bit too long, and, you know, they're just too much stuff on these shows, and everything is just trampling over each other. Whereas if you've got 2 hours and you've got the chance to perhaps have three key segments on that show, with the rest kind of making up the show, you know, you can go away from that show thinking, okay, I saw these three things which were memorable, whether it's a title change, a heel turn, face turn, or some kind of key storyline advancement, and then more importantly, to kind of hook you for the following week. Whereas if you've got a 3 hour show and you're throwing 20 different things at the audience, for that audience to keep up with everything, all those 20 different things, and then remember it for the following week, you know, you've got to be a very, very devoted fan. And, you know, there's even in the Attitude Era, there were a lot of people that watched Raw and also Nitro on a casual basis and wanted to dip in and out of them. And when WCW Nitro went to 3 hours is when that show's ratings started to decline massively. And, you know, Raw had a more tighter and more easier to follow product over the 2 hours. And, you know, that's certainly why we've seen a narrowing of the gap between the Monday Raw shows and the Tuesday SmackDowns. You know, the ratings gap is decreasing. And in fact, just the other week, SmackDown outdrew Raw. And it's not a surprise, because SmackDown, despite having a thinner roster, are putting on a tighter, more consistent show. And that's why the ratings gap is decreasing. And the WWE, won't do anything about it, because, you know, money talks. And, if they stand to lose tens of millions by dropping an hour of Raw, then that's something they're not prepared to do. So, and whilst that's the situation, Raw will continue to be this show that's got maybe a couple of good moments, good segments, and the rest is filler.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that it's becoming a chore to watch. To be honest, the three hour format has been a bit of a chore for quite a while, but in recent weeks, it's really becoming more and more of a chore. It's almost becoming a chore just to fast forward through it. But the impression I get, and this is what worries me with it, is that I almost get the impression that it's becoming a chore for the writers. You know, the quality of the product that's out there, the storylines, and particularly the endless backstage segments. You know, we keep getting these promo segments with Stephanie and with Mick Foley, and then we're getting them backstage and these badly acted backstage segments, and it really seems to drag. I mean, like, really, really drag. Now, if the ratings keep going down to a point, is there a cutoff point where what they lose from the ratings being so low kind of balances out? You know, is maybe a balance against that third hour, if you know what I mean? If the revenue that they would lose cutting the third hour, is there a point where that would be balanced out by increased ratings? Is that possible?
It entirely is. That's right. I mean, when they signed their latest TV deal, I think it was about two and a half years ago. And I think it was for 3 to 4 years with the USA Network and partners. At that time, Raw was doing ratings of around 3, slightly over 3. In recent times, that's gone down to 2, 2.2, 2.3, sometimes less than that. And that's a 50% drop in rating and viewership in that time. That's a significant number. And you know, this is at a time when WWE is hoping to get a big increase in their rights fees for their TV deal for Raw and SmackDown. Whilst their ratings have dropped by that extent, I really find it difficult to see how they can, never mind get a better deal, but even match the deal that they've currently got. And that's when they'll really have to think hard about, you know, what they are trying to achieve with 5 hours of primetime TV and whether, most importantly, it's really worth it. Because given the ratings decrease over that time, I would argue it isn't. I mean, sure, they're making those tens of millions. You know, that's something that's very important to their bottom line. But, you know, it's certainly an argument that can be made that if Raw had stayed at 2 hours, then that show might have been drawing, continuing to draw threes. And if it was drawing 3 in this day and age, then they might have been able to score, you know, a significantly better deal when they next renew their rights for Raw and SmackDown. And on top of that, you know, it might have helped boost their network subscriptions as well. So these are the types of things that I would hope that they are discussing, but their hand might be forced when the rights need to be renewed again, because if the ratings continue to go in a downward trajectory, then, you know, that's just going to be very bad news for the amount of money that they can get out of TV companies.
Do you think there's a potential there for them to, if things do go, continue to go south, even maybe to kind of rethink the format as to, well, we continue to do 3 hours, but perhaps packaged maybe the first hour as the cruiserweight? You know, what is now 205 Live? Does that, you know, become the first hour of Raw potentially? Is that almost like a way around it?
It might well be. That's right. They might decide, okay, let's present something completely different. I mean, that's something that, in fact, they can get away with on SmackDown, because what they do with Tuesday nights is that they'll tape SmackDown Live, and straight after that, that's followed by the Cruiserweight show, 205 Live, which is live on the WWE Network. So they've got two shows recording live back-to-back, but on different networks, one on the WWE Network, one on the USA Network. So there's no reason why they can't do that on a Monday. But that's something that, at this moment in time, is not a concern for them whilst their TV money is what it is. But if the ratings continue to go down, then almost surely it will become an issue to maintain their current levels of TV rights fees, almost surely. So at that point, and only at that point, I think, is when they'll seriously consider whether it's really sensible to be putting out 3 hours of TV on a Monday night. And they might look to perhaps mix it up by having one of those 3 hours as a technically separate show. But the audience out there will only, in most cases, want to watch a certain amount of wrestling on any given night or in a week. And even if you brand each of the 3 hours as a different show, that might not necessarily increase viewership. So that's something that they'll, I think, have to certainly consider when the negotiations have to start for the next TV deal.
Mo, I've got a bit of a tenuous question here, and it's kind of relating ratings related. Now, I've got a bit of a fear here that WWE may look at the ratings and kind of look at Kevin Owens and say, you know what, the ratings are down to you being champion. You're not a popular enough champion. You can't carry the company, so we're going to take the belt off you, and you can have the US title, and therefore that's where we get the Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho feud. Instead of it being over the Universal Championship, it's over the US title. That is a bit of a fear I've got at the moment. Do you share my concerns, or can you reassure me that I'm worrying about nothing here?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think you are worrying over nothing. I think that's a very real possibility. So for those listeners that are not aware, on this past week's Raw, there was a main event for the show with Chris Jericho against Roman Reigns for the US Championship, and with a little bit of influence from Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho beat Roman Reigns for the US Championship. The immediate reaction to that from many was that that's setting Kevin Owens up to drop the title at the Rumble and then to go into a feud with Chris Jericho. A lot of the talk is that that will climax in a match at WrestleMania. And you know, this is something that has been teased going back several months now about Owens and Jericho inevitably splitting up and having a big match. And you know, the other talk is also that you know, Jericho is going to be doing a lot of touring with Fozzy this year. And so as a result, the expectation is he'll be disappearing around WrestleMania time. So, yes, in answer to your question, Andy, I think there's a very real possibility that the WWE plans to relinquish Kevin Owens of the title, whether it's at the Rumble or whether it's at the Raw pay-per-view in February. But there's a very real chance that he will be losing the title before WrestleMania. Now, I mean, is it his fault about the ratings? Absolutely not. I mean, if you look at the ratings that Roman Reigns was doing when he was champion, or even when Seth Rollins was champion, they really weren't much different to what they are now. In fact, I think the ratings for Raw, given they've been up against the NFL, haven't been quite as bad as I fear they might drop to. If you asked me this around September time at the start of the NFL season, I had fears that the Raw rating would drop to around 1.8 to 1.9, and that's not happened. They've stayed above 2, and they've been fairly consistent. So, you know, Kevin Owens has been a good champion, certainly been entertaining on the mic, has taken part in some great matches, but he's not a chosen one, is he? He's not Vince's David Moyes, and we all know who is, and I think it's inevitable that that title will once again end up round Roman Reigns' waist. Largely depends on what plans they've got for WrestleMania as well, and who they want to win in the Royal Rumble. You've got to think that Vince, if no one else, certainly wishes to see Roman Reigns in a high-profile match, because if Roman doesn't win, then you know, we could easily have a situation whereby, you know, he's just relegated to a meaningless mid-card match. And you know, Roman certainly seems to be a Vince project, and I just don't think he wants to give up on him, despite all the evidence to suggest that the fans don't want to get behind him, don't want to root for him as a babyface in the way he's presented.
That's a big thing. Sorry, Mo. That's a big thing, really, isn't it? I think more and more fans now are recognising the fact that, look, this guy is talented. Yeah, he looks great and everything like that, but he is talented. He can go in the ring. You know, he's had some really good matches over the past year. Yeah, he had some of the best matches of his career with AJ Styles. He certainly held up his end of the bargain. It's about that presentation. That is the key thing. And it's, you know, as a babyface, the fans are just resounding, and they're not giving up on this. I think Vince thought perhaps he thought that people would give in and they would come round to his way of thinking, almost like John Cena. It seems that more and more people are beginning to get behind John Cena now. They've almost given up that John Cena may turn heel eventually at some point. And then it's turning into a kind of respect now of the body of work that he's given. But I think the difference is Roman Reigns is so early into this career that he doesn't have, you know, 10 years to continue going through this, that I think that change has got to come. And when it does come, I think that will probably move him on to that next level. And then it would seem authentic, him having the belt. I think that really would seem authentic. And this is the thing, isn't it? It's with Roman Reigns, it's not a question of his talent. It's a question of the presentation.
Well, that's right. Yes. I mean, it's an interesting one, though, because if you look at Seth Rollins, I mean, when he was a heel, there were a lot of people clamoring for him to turn face, feeling that, you know, if he was such a great heel that fans thought, okay, as in when the WWE turns him, you know, he'll just become the biggest face in the company. And when he came back after his injury, fans were expecting him to return as a face. That wasn't the case. He continued to work as a heel for several more months before Triple H turned on him, which led to Kevin Owens becoming Universal Champion. After that, Seth Rollins finally turned face, and a lot of people thought, okay, this might be just the angle to get Seth Rollins to become this huge babyface. And it hasn't panned out. It just hasn't worked. A lot of people have been very disappointed in Seth Rollins as a babyface. It's something that he struggled with in terms of promos, coming across as an authentic babyface. And even in his matches as well, which I've been surprised by, he's just not been delivering in the way that he certainly was prior to his bad knee injury. So I think at the back of Vince's mind might be that, okay, well, that didn't work. What's to say that if I turn Roman in the opposite direction to Seth, and i.e. from face to heel, that's going to work and that the fans will, you know, respond in the way that we'd like. They might still continue to boo him. In which case, why not just leave him as a face and he can still be popular amongst the kids and the women, who are the two demographics that most closely root for Roman, and buy his merchandise in large numbers. You know, that's been a strategy that, despite problems over the years, has worked very successfully for John Cena in a way, in that you know, he's been built out of buildings for year upon year. But despite that, he's been a huge merchandise seller. And to his fans, you know, he's an absolute monumental star. And those that want to boo him, they will continue to boo him. And you know, that's, I think, part of the reason why WWE ultimately has not turned Reigns heel. You know, it's one I can understand from the WWE side, but you know, beyond the kind of presentational side of things, I just think that the kind of John Cena and Seth Rollins examples make them wary about turning him. I think that they feel comfortable in leaving him as he is, despite the kind of poor reaction, especially in those towns and cities where they know they've got very rabid fan bases that will boom out of the building, like a New York or a Philadelphia.
Well, I tell you what was quite interesting, actually, with him this past week, I must admit, is that reaction, that atmosphere, when he got in the ring with Goldberg. Do you think there's a slight tease here, then, that potentially the WWE might even think about, rather than going for Goldberg and Brock Lesnar in a one-on-one match at Mania, could that end up being a triple threat match, maybe for a Universal Championship at WrestleMania?
Well, it certainly could. You know, that's something that we've seen from them before, giving us triple threat matches with, who was it now? Daniel Bryan, Triple H,
Daniel Bryan, Batista, and Randy Orton.
Oh, right. That was it. Yeah.
And then there was, years ago, there was also Triple H was in there with Chris Benoit and I seem to forget now whether it was Batista. I think it was Batista as well. So, yeah, they have done it before. Just, I wonder, you know, as much as anything, is that all those concerns that people had before that Brock Lesnar Goldberg match that, you know, famously ended within 2 minutes, they're worried about the distance that it could go and how, you know, what kind of a match they could put on and would it get booed out of the building. Does adding that element of Roman Reigns, you know, the younger guy, the third person in there, does that give it the option and the ability to stretch things out a bit more and maybe get a 15-minute match out of them?
Yeah, I think it possibly could. I mean, part of me also thinks that maybe the plan is to have Roman Reigns win the title at the Rumble and then possibly go on to Fastlane in March and see Goldberg challenge for the title at that pay-per-view in a singles match, and possibly see some interference from Brock leading to either a triple threat at WrestleMania or Goldberg against Lesnar for the title, with Lesnar then winning the title from Goldberg at the biggest show of the year. So there's a variety of possibilities. But given the kind of tease with Goldberg and Roman a couple of weeks back on Raw, I don't think that was done by accident. I think there was certainly some meaning to that. And I'm sure it will lead to something between and up to WrestleMania involving Roman, Goldberg, and possibly Brock. So, I think that's also a good shout that we've seen that in the big matches, Roman's actually a very, very good performer these days. The way to stretch out that kind of match involving Brock and Goldberg to go to 15, maybe even 20 minutes is to have Brock going out there and delivering 20 suplexes to Roman. So why not?
Yeah, it could be interesting. I mean, before we get finished up for this evening, just a little sort of glance ahead to the Rumble. I know it's still a few weeks away, but you know, early indications, it would almost seem to me as though the Rumble was exclusively a Raw pay-per-view, because it seems to be barely sort of talked about on SmackDown. You know, the actual Royal Rumble match, where it's been a big focus of Raw so far. You know, the past few weeks, you know, they've, to their credit in a way, you know, they're really showcasing that Royal Rumble match on there, aren't they? I mean, What are your feelings, your early indications of the Royal Rumble coming up then? Are you looking forward to it? Do you think it could be a good show?
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to it. And the reason why is this is taking place at Alamo Dome in, I think it's San Antonio in Texas. And they'll have 60,000 in the venue. And I think for that alone, they're really keen to make it a big show and a very memorable one. Certainly one of the most memorable Royal Rumbles in the history of the show. And I think the Royal Rumble match in itself, just because of the big names that they've announced for that match, albeit most of the names announced so far for it are arguably part-timers who, after Rumble, most of them will disappear until maybe a few weeks before WrestleMania. You know, it shows that they're trying to throw everything at it. And no, there's also the possibility that there might be one or two surprises. In fact, the probability that there will be one or two surprise entrants, including big names from the past. So, you know, it'll be good to see. And, you know, then we've got the kind of unknown that is Braun Strowman. You know, he's developing a bit of a cult following, and I think that he'll get a good reaction from the crowd in attendance at the Alamo Dome. You know, this might be the match that the WWE uses to really turn him into that next level of monster. When WWE normally does that, it's to set an opponent up for somebody like an Undertaker at a WrestleMania. So, I mean, you know, we could even go in that direction where, whilst he might not win it, he has a very memorable performance in the match, and Braun is then the person that they'll set up for Taker at WrestleMania.
Or Shaquille O'Neal, sorry? Maybe Shaquille O'Neal, set him up for Shaquille to beat him after he's destroyed everyone else.
They do like the celebrities. Yeah. They do, yes. And there was one or two hints about him having a match in the WWE as well. I think last year, I think he did one or two things with the Big Show. Certainly one or two comments back and forth. You know, Big Show, whilst not announced the matches yet, certainly expecting him to be part of that. And you know, yeah, Shaquille O'Neal might just be you know, surprise entrant. There's been talk about Kurt Angle possibly being one of the entrants as well. And, you know, certainly if he came out in front of that crowd after being away for some 12 or so years, the reaction he would get from the 60,000 would just be deafening. So I'd love to see that. So it's going to be a really memorable match, I think. And on top of that, you know, we've got Owens against Reigns and AJ against Cena announced, and I think both of those matches have got tremendous potential. Got Charlotte against Bayley too, so you know, it's shaping up to be a really, really good card. And with the crowd, with the kind of lineup, with inevitable surprises. I think it'll be a great way to kick off the year for the WWE.
Yeah, I mean, well, speaking of the Rumble, we will be doing a full preview of the Royal Rumble event beforehand, you know, in that week leading up to it. But, I mean, you've just been alluding to there more that, you know, the stars of the past, the names from the past, you know, that nostalgia that WWE does like to dip in from time to time. And, I mean, I think that the Rumble's a nice sort of format and a good way to do it. So on that message of nostalgia, just as a bit of a special, next week what we are going to do is a bit of a Royal Rumble nostalgia special. So we're going to talk about some of our favourite Royal Rumble events and matches of years gone by. So listeners, please feel free to get in contact with us. Let us know some of your favourites. Share your favourite Royal Rumble moments with us. We might well give them a mention here on the show and discuss them as well. Because, Mo, I've got to say, look, as an old school fan, you know, I've been watching this for bloody old 25 plus years. You know, I've enjoyed it for years. There's been so many enjoyable ones over the years, particularly in them early 90s. It was one of my favourite things to watch, the Royal Rumble. So next week is something that I am particularly looking forward to.
Indeed, plenty to enjoy, some great moments on the show. And I'm looking forward to reminiscing on some of the great moments that the Royal Rumble has thrown up and delivered over the years. So it should be a great pod. I'm looking forward to talking about that next week.
Yeah, that should be a great one. But I think that will just about do us for tonight. But before we do close out, Mo, is there anything you would like to plug, and where can the listeners catch you on Twitter if they're not already following you?
Yes, it's at Mo Chatra on Twitter, MOCHATRA, where you can follow me and get my views on wrestling, some mixed martial arts, and even the odd one or two tweet about Liverpool as well. How about you, Andy?
I'm at Andy Armchair, if you're interested, and I may even get back to writing a little bit about pro wrestling as well. What about the MMA show you were doing with Dave Hendrick?
Yes, so we had our first MMA monthly pod, which went out there about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Had a lot of fun with Dave recording that. We did mention Dejan Lovren once as well, so that was a good achievement. So that was a lot of fun, and we've got our second one lined up for him the next couple of weeks as well, where we'll be talking about the fallout from UFC 207, which was headlined by Nunes and Rousey, obviously, and also talking about the two UFC shows from this month, and looking forward to some big shows coming up in the month of February. So we'll have plenty to talk about, all Dave and I, and really looking forward to recording that with Mr. Hendrick. And how about you, Andy? I'm sure you're keeping busy as always with your various pods on the channel.
Yeah, well, if you are of a Liverpool persuasion, the Reds Review was out recently, reviewing December and some bits and pieces from 2016. I did that with Nina Kauser. I'm all from World Football Index as well. I do podcasts on there. So I'm here, around there, I'm everywhere. Articles out on Anfield Index and EPL Index. And like I say, I will get back to writing again about pro wrestling. The one I did recently about Chris Jericho, I enjoyed that. It was nice to get a retweet by the man himself, Y2J. So you never know. Well, I'll see if I can come up with a good subject and get pen to paper again and have a bit of fun. But Mo, that's it for us tonight. Thanks again for joining me.
Thank you, as always. Another great hour of talk.
Yeah, it goes by so quickly, and it's a good fun subject to talk about. And like we said, next week really should be fun. Yeah, something I'm looking forward to, a bit of nostalgia, that look back at Royal Rumbles of the past, some of our favourite ones, and you never know, we might just get a guest in for it as well. So send us your comments, send us your thoughts, your favourite moments, your favourite Royal Rumbles. We'll get them on air, we'll talk about them as well, we'll have lots of fun. So that's it, us for this week. Don't forget to join us next week for all of that. So thank you for listening here to the Pro Wrestling Index here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. We'll be back next week. Don't you dare miss it.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.